The first reading is from, well, it is Psalm 62, which we could all read together, page 579. No rustling of pages, does that mean you've all got it? Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence, surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless. But in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my righty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath, the highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in the or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your hearts on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and your reward everyone according to what they have done. The second reading is Matthew 11. Page 976. 977, sorry, because it's Matthew 11, starting at verse 25. So 977. The Father revealed in the Son. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great, well, we are going to be in Psalm 62. So why don't you flick back there? And just a reminder that that is on page 579. And as you get back there, let me lead us all in prayer. Think of that time when many disciples were turning away from Jesus because they found his teaching hard. And Peter responded, Lord, where else can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And Father, we know that these these words that we're looking at, this word that you've given us, are words indeed of life. And so we pray that our hearts would be open to them today. Amen. Psalm 62. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. What comes to mind to you with that word rest? I wonder what comes to mind. Here are three images that I thought of. We live in an age that is seeking rest. I mean, just think of mindfulness. That's a word that didn't exist, I don't think, 5 years ago. And yet now it's a big thing, isn't it? Think of the whole awareness around mental health. Just in the last 10 years or so, huge change in that. Think of those happy pandemic days. Do you remember when everyone was like, oh, look, I'm learning so much. Learning to slow down. And I say remember those happy days because we've all forgotten it, haven't we? We're back to the hectic pace again. But one of the big learnings, I think, that people said, you know, if I've learned anything from the pandemic, it's how important it is to slow down and how good it is to rest. We're seeking rest, often on quite a deep level. You think about all the stuff that we're kind of engaging with at the moment, for example, on kind of a transgender debate, and there are lots of things to think through on that. But at its heart, it's people who are feeling restless, who are desperately seeking rest. And we've got questions about whether they're seeking it in the right place. But there is something in our culture that is hungry for rest at a deep, deep level. And yet, in spite of all of that, our society remains undeniably restless. For all our searching for rest, this is what we're met with at the moment. It's a surface level thing, isn't it? The airports. Those with young kids, I quite enjoyed this one. Parenting is when you let your kid drive their toy car around your face because you're not fussy about how you receive a massage these days. Apple, the tech company, recently revealed that their average smartphone user unlocks their Apple phone 80 times a day. That's every 10 minutes of waking consciousness. Every 10 minutes. It's a kind of restlessness there. For all the focus on mental health, and that's to be hugely applauded, nonetheless, we are in the middle of a mental health crisis at the moment. Restlessness on quite a deep level. We think about our, frankly, frenetic lifestyles. And when was the last time someone asked you, how are you doing, and you didn't answer, I'm busy? And part of us longs to step away from that, but we find it hard, don't we? It's not as easy as all that. Because it's not just us, it's this whole system that we're caught up in. And then there's the house prices, then there's the mortgage, and then there's the need for a double income, and then suddenly we're just... And we can feel so trapped, so restless. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. I think we find that an appealing idea. Probably wherever we are on the kind of Christian spectrum, we're an early stage inquirer, we're not at all sure, we've been walking with the Lord for a long time. This is an appealing idea. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. It's talking about our soul, okay? Not just rest for your body, we need that as well. Not just rest for our minds, we also need that. This is talking about your soul. This is the life that God has breathed into you. This is the thing that makes you, you. This is you at the deepest level. This is the you that was created for God, and that is restless until you find your rest in Him. Truly my soul finds rest in God. How is your soul, by the way? Have you been caring for it? Or feeding it? Or is it, to be honest, a little neglected? Restless, withered? Well, good news, dear friends, there is rest. There is rest for our souls. And this psalm points the way. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. A couple of headlines for today. First thing I think we see in this psalm is we see a God of rest. Okay, our God of rest. Look at verse 1 again. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? Here is a God who holds out rest. Because it's easy to think of God as just another demanding figure in my life. There are the kids, and they're always making demands on me. There's the boss, and he's making demands on me. There's the dog, who's making demands on me. And then there's God, and he's making demands on me as well. As if I'm not busy enough already, God now has some extra demands for me. Pray and go to church and be nice to people. And there are the Ten Commandments, and there's a Sermon on the Mount. And let's just keep piling up the demands. And some of us have found that exhausting, actually, if we're honest. And we have sometimes found church exhausting as well. The rotas that we end up on and all the things that we end up doing. And probably some of us, if we're honest, maybe even this week, we've found being a Christian another burden in our lives, if we're honest. Well, that wasn't David's experience of God. It isn't actually the picture of God that the Bible holds out for us. David finds rest in God, and that's because of who he is. Do you see how he goes on? Verse 2, truly he is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I shall never be shaken. The picture of stability and security and salvation, and it's personal. Very personal. He is my rock, my salvation, my fortress. He knows his God is passionately for him. He knows that he is always with him, and that enables him to find rest, even in the most stressful situation. So, and he is in a stressful situation. Do you see verse 3? How long will you assault me? Would you, all of you, throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. And here's the question. Is deep rest possible for King David, who wrote this psalm, the King of Israel, when people are constantly lurking in the shadows and wanting to topple him? He doesn't know who they are or when they might strike. Is deep rest possible for him? What about us? Is this deep rest possible when you return home without a job one day? Is this deep rest possible when the diagnosis is terminal? Is this deep rest possible in the face of unthinkable loss? Truly my soul finds rest in God, says David, in the midst of these circumstances. It's not hard for us to point to things in life that lead to unrest. If I was to say, look, just think of all the things in your life that are leading to unrest, you could come up with a list in no time at all. But where do those things come from? Why is our world characterized by them? Well, the Bible gives us a framework in which to understand all of this. It says that there is chaos in our world, a restlessness that is caused by sin in the world. It paints a picture of how God's original design was a place of perfect order. Everything just so. Perfectly ordered relationships, perfectly ordered creation, perfectly ordered minds and bodies. And the Bible says on the seventh day, God rested from all that he's done. And the Bible says that that is the, as it were, the kind of the way of salvation. That's how it's meant to be, this rest for all of creation. Just so. When God was reigning, and when his reign was heeded, perfect rest and order resulted. But ever since Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve led the charge in disobeying God, the Bible says disorder has been our experience of life. The order kind of unravels. Unrest has stalked the streets of our human experience ever since. That was true for David. It's true for us. But God in his great love is committed to restoring order and rest. That's his plan of salvation. That's why David says, my salvation comes from him. Now for the Israelites, the kind of big picture of this salvation that they got was the Exodus. So do you remember the story? The Israelites are slaves in Egypt. That is the most brutally restless experience that you can imagine. Pharaoh, this king who relentlessly demands more and more and more. And some of you thinking, goodness me, I work for someone like that. More and more and more. Never a day off. Demands never ceasing, ever increasing. A restless misery. That was life in Egypt. And yet God steps into that situation and he redeems his people. And God is nothing like Pharaoh. And so when he redeems his people, he redeems them for rest. A rest that he pictured for them in the Sabbath. He literally commands them to take a day off every week. I don't know if you thought about how amazing that must have been, given the context of 400 years of slavery. No control over your time. That was Pharaoh, but the Lord God is so different. He says, I'm redeeming you so that you might rest in relationship with me. And this God who gives rest, he's only just getting going, because eventually, that was the big Old Testament picture of salvation, eventually he sends his son, Jesus. And Jesus comes to restore rest and order on the biggest level. Just look at these words from Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Give me your burden, says Jesus. I've come to take away the chaos. He did that on the cross. He bore all of our sin. And when he rose again, he came with salvation. He came to bring us into that perfect rest of a relationship with God. It starts now. It goes on into eternity. And Jesus says, look, it doesn't matter how burdened you feel. Bring them. I'll take them. It doesn't matter how burdened your sin has left you. I will bear that sin in your place. So no matter how the restlessness of our world has battered and bruised you, we have a God of rest. David knew him. When we come to Jesus, we can know him too. Okay, no matter what you've lost, if you come to Jesus, you can never lose him. And in him, all will be restored. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, no matter how out of control you feel, he is in total control and he has hold of you. He will bring his salvation to the final goal, come what may. Okay, no matter how guilty or afraid or worthless you might feel, in Christ, he has shone the sunshine of his everlasting love on you. And even if the clouds obscure it from time to time, they can never blot it out. Truly, my soul finds rest in God, because he is our God of rest. And that means we are invited, dear friends, to enter into his rest. We're invited to enter into his rest. Do you see how the tone shifts a bit in verse 5? David says, yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Okay, in verse 1, it's a statement, my soul finds rest in God. In verse 5, he's talking to himself, find rest, my soul, in God. Okay, David is putting his finger on a kind of disconnect that every Christian is prone to. Okay, that's the difference between knowing about the rest that is ours in Christ and actually experiencing that rest. Okay, it's the difference between knowing in your head on a kind of 35 degree day that that pool is going to be very refreshing. You know that in your head, but what a difference to actually jump in the pool. Or knowing in your head that a cold glass of water is going to quench your thirst and actually drinking it. Because for David in this psalm, it's not enough for him to know about the rest that God gives. He wants to experience it in his everyday life. And so, let me ask, are you experiencing the rest that Jesus promises in your life? Yes, my soul, find rest in God. I think David points to a couple of ways that we can come to experience this rest personally. It starts with a relationship with God, not just knowing about him, but knowing him. Do you see how David goes there again? Verse 6, truly he is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I'll not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He's my mighty rock. He's my refuge. You know, David actually has come to know God personally. You know, this is a difference between like reading a CV. Some of us employ people and we read through CVs and resumes. And difference between that and actually sitting in the room with someone and getting to know them. And maybe some of us have a kind of resume kind of knowledge of God. We think, oh yes, well, God excels in the field of salvation. He's demonstrates a particular capability in the area of steadfast love. And all of his referees speak of his kind of transformative impact. But it's all very kind of theoretical. This is what other people say about him. But Jesus offers us personal knowledge of God. His love poured into our hearts. A deep sense of his presence with us at all times. True rest comes not from theoretical, but personal knowledge, which is developed in a relational walk with Christ, as we actually spend time with him day by day, in prayer, in his word, knowing him personally. But it also involves trust. Okay, do you see that in verse 8? Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him. Challenging words, at all times. And it's an active trust. Pour out your hearts to him. In the New Testament, Paul writes, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Rest comes the other side of an active trust as you hand over, pour out your heart to him. And if you're not trusting in God, well, you'll be trusting in something else. You'll be trusting in people. But verse 9, surely the lowborn are but a breath, and the highborn are but a life, weighed on a balance, they're nothing. Together they're only a breath. That's people. Here one day, gone the next. Don't trust in them, ultimately. Or money and wealth. Verse 10, don't put trust in extortion or vain hope in stolen goods, though your riches increase, and do not set your heart on them. How easy it is to seek rest in the security of money, whether ill-gotten or fairly gained. Don't set your heart on it, he says. It's a false avenue. It's not going to deliver the rest you think it might do. So friends, we have a God of rest, and he encourages us not just to know about his rest, but to actively enter into it as we get to know him and as we learn to trust him at all times. And he's given us a structure to enable that. The Sabbath, we've already alluded to it. It says every 7 days, just take a day to focus on me. You'll find that so helpful. And we'll find it helpful if we're able to do that as well. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Well, friends, we're going to stop there. I've got some questions for us to reflect on. I'm restless at the moment because I need to pour out my heart to God about over the summer. I can pursue rest in God by. I encourage you just to have a few moments thinking about those. And then we're actually going to do things a little bit differently today. We're in very good time. We're going to have 15 minutes now of a time where we can just respond to what God has been saying in his word. And let me highlight a few ways that we might like to do that. First way would be just to have some quiet time by yourself, reflecting, thinking, praying personally. Another thing you might enjoy is perhaps praying with the person that you came with. Why not have a chat about this? Have a think about perhaps some of those questions and pray together about this. Or perhaps there's someone in church you feel comfortable praying with. Another kind of resource to help with this is our prayer team, which today is Ruth and John, are going to be just kind of down in that corner somewhere near the door. So if you would like someone to pray with, it might be about something from today, it might just be about something else which is on your heart, make the most of that opportunity. It's a really wonderful thing to be able to pray about the things going on in our lives. So they'll be kind of in amongst the buggies over there somewhere, probably not in the buggies, but around there. So if that would be helpful. And Vic, perhaps you might have a bit of quiet music as well, just to help us all in that. So just a few minutes then, just quiet reflection. And then, as I say, we've got about 15 minutes or so, and this might feel like quite a long time, but probably that's a measure of how frenetic our lives are the rest of the time. So I hope it's a blessing to us all. Let me start this time in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you that you are a God of rest. You're good. You don't throw demands on us. Instead, you offer us salvation and a deep trust, a deep rest through knowing and trusting you. And we pray in this time now that you would just open our hearts to respond to you, to bring burdens to you, and to hear from you as we respond in faith to you now. In Jesus' name.